Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Monday, June 27th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. The reference number for yesterday's special edition is 19107 for June 26th. And that's 19107. And the reference number for today's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 19108. That's 19,108. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Terry H. to please read those 12 steps.
Good morning, Elaine. Thank you for your service. My name is Terry H. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater through God's grace, one day at a time. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove all of our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to serve during the month of June. And with that, I pass.
Yes, thank you so much, Terry H., for your service. And I'll now ask Rhonda R. to please read the 12 traditions.
Thank you for your service, Elaine. Good morning, everyone. This is Rhonda R. in Georgia. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for the opportunity to do service in June. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much for your service, Rhonda R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book means to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass and press star 1 to unmute to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 11 of Bill's story, and we're on paragraph 6. And I will now ask Mary B. to please read for us.
Thank you, Elaine. My name is Mary B. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Phoenix, Arizona. Bill's story, page 11. Last paragraph, I saw that my friend was much more than inwardly reorganized. He was on different footing. His roots grasped a new soil. Wow, those three little lines, they say a lot. I was privileged to do service on the earlier meeting today. I was the second hour host, and it was just amazing, off the charts. I never looked at it the way that these folks did this morning. And I do not have a green thumb. I am the farthest thing from a green thumb. But my mother did have a green thumb. She could grow African violets. She would just take a little clipping off of one of the other plants and put it in a pot, and it seemed like almost instantly she had another African violet. Well, I kind of had to take a look at this as far as God taking care of me, because I was in the ground, and I was not in good soil at all. I was feeding myself all my alcoholic foods and then some depression. I was lying to myself. I was lying to everybody else. I was really, really good at conning, manipulating, twisting, because I wanted life, you see, to go my way. And things just never went my way. God pulled me, so to speak, out of that soil, and he planted me in this beautiful, wonderful, nurturing, loving, caring soil of Overeaters Anonymous, especially for me, a vision for you. And I have to nurture and water it by working with others, calling the newcomers, making the outreach calls, following the food plan, talking to my sponsor, doing the 10 steps, whatever it takes to nurture and love myself back to health. Because see, I'm not ever cured of this. It's just a daily reprieve, and it's a beautiful thing. This paragraph today has just opened up my eyes to how it's so true. I don't think the same way. I don't act the same way. I'm so different than I was over 5 years ago. I can't believe it. And I've been in OA for 39 years. Just couldn't get abstinent. till just before I came to Vision. God struck me abstinent, so to speak, and I'm so forever grateful. Thank you, everybody on the line who's doing service today. Just by showing up, you're doing service. Welcome to the newcomer. Thank you. That's all I got. Out.
Thanks so much, Mary B. Thank you for your share and your service this month. Okay, so we value your experience. We do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last couple of meetings and would like to comment on the last paragraph on page 11, please press star one to unmute and give me your name.
Christine H.
Christine H. Don't all speak at once now. Star one to unmute if you'd like to comment.
Jordan L.
Jordan L. Anybody else?
Tony Ann. Tony Ann from New Jersey.
Tony Ann from New Jersey. Well, let's get started with you three, and I'm sure you're going to inspire some more shares. So Christine H., followed by Jordan L., and then Tony Ann. Please share with us, Christine.
Good morning, Christine H. from Arizona. We're on Pacific time right now. This hits upon a theme that God had me thinking about when I kind of first started recovery again about 3.5 years ago. And I told my husband, I said, I know so many things about God and what, you know, he asks of me and stuff, but I just had a very hard time putting it into practice because I was always leaning more on the food than on him. And our thinking just is, you know, whacked out and stuff. And so now I'm just, at that point I was looking at a parable and of kinds of soil. And I just, the parable makes it so the person's the soil. And I just, I didn't have good soil. And because I wanted my way, I was still saying, I don't want to do your way. You need to do what I want. And even though if you told me that, I would have been, well, I'm trying and and so now I am doing so much better. I'm on a different footing. My soil is so much better because I have all of you, and of course, God, to tend to that soil and dig it up and, put good things in there and stuff. I told someone, but it's minimum like 2 hours a day I work program, and before that I didn't spend 2 hours a day on my spiritual life and calling people and stuff. So I really do appreciate the fellowship. Yes, I need to do my steps, but I appreciate the fellowship that keeps me actively applying, what my God wants for me and keeps me focused on that, he's the one that's going to do the changing and the work in me. So thank you, everybody. Appreciate you.
Thank you very much, Christine H. Jordan L., you're up next, followed by Tony Ann in New Jersey. Thank you.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for moderating for us this morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and I'm grateful to be on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous this morning and abstinent with you all. So I think I've been inwardly reorganized several times in my life. And with regard to the food, I think in particular, the first time that I got entirely abstinent, I was following a meal plan or a food plan that was free and clear of my alcoholic foods, completely and totally. I relate with that idea of being inwardly reorganized. I was thinking about food differently. I was thinking about my alcoholic foods differently. I was engaged in different eating behaviors. I was engaged in different exercise behaviors and like ways of taking care of my body. I was thinking very differently, right? Inwardly reorganized around food. And what happened with that, this was in 2014, what happened with that experience is by 2015, or I guess it would have been 2016, by like January, February of 2016, I was falling off the wagon. I was slipping. My footing, right? I was slipping. I do a lot of hiking. So I pay attention to my footing very carefully, because where you put your foot can, like when you're hiking up a mountain, it can be the difference between getting to the top and falling off of the mountain, right? So I pay attention to my footing really carefully, and my footing was not good. I was slipping. and so what I know, I guess like with that knowledge about being inwardly reorganized and this knowledge about a different footing, like choosing to put my foot somewhere else, it's really important, that the soil that I'm drawing from is really important. The soil that I'm drawing from is, it's either going to be giving me toxins or it's going to be giving me
gentle reminder.
Okay, I'll wrap up, and it's going to be the difference between the fruits of this program, if you will. That soil, those nutrients are going to determine what sort of fruits I get. I appreciate the way that we really dive into directions on how to work this program from AA, Alcoholics Anonymous. Thanks for letting me share. That's all I got.
Thank you, Jordan L. So Tony Ann is up next, and after Tony Ann, we'll take another lineup on Bill's story, page 11, paragraph 6. So please share with us, Tony Ann.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Thank you for everybody's service to put this meeting together today. So I have someplace to go. I so appreciate you. My name's Tony Ann A., and I live in northern New Jersey. When I was going through this book with my sponsor, we got to this passage, and she explained something to me. It was about my story. I had been living in my story, and I gave a lot of weight to my story. And the story I told myself was a sad story about self-pity and the Chicken Little syndrome and the dark cloud over me and the other shoe was always going to drop. And I don't know if that sounds familiar to anybody, but that was basically the way that I existed. And my sponsor explained to me that whatever I give weight to will get larger. And she said that when I breathe energy into my story, that it grasps roots and that story goes down deep within me. And then the more I talked about it and the more energy I gave it, the more it would grow and blossom. And I would live between the leaves and the roots of my story, and I would be stuck in there. And this program gives me an entirely new story to live. They're called ideals. And by working the program, I come to what the ideals would be for me in any given situation that I feel restless, irritable, and discontented. And today, that's the story that I strive for. I strive not, you know, it's progress, not perfection, but this program gives me an outline or a method for me to get to that place that's so much better than where I was before. You know, it's no longer about me. I'm just one of many, you know, doing my thing, and I have something to work towards. I'm so grateful for this program. She told me that anytime I needed to repeat a story more than twice, I needed to do a 10-step about it. And I love that. I still live by it today. And this program really works for me. And if you're new here on the line or new to the program, just stick around. It really does work. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you very much, Tori Ann A. Okay, so we'll now take another lineup. And though we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others might have a chance to share their experience too. So if you haven't commented in the last couple of days, we'd love to hear from you. Press star 1 to unmute and give me your name.
This is Sandy A.
Sandy G. From New York.
Sandy A. I recognize Elaine G. I heard
Deborah G.
Deborah G. Marietta. And was there a Constance or? Okay. This is
Marietta
what I have so
P.
far. Sandy A. Dana B. Elaine G. Deborah. Didn't get your first initial. And Marietta P. Was there anybody else? Okay, that's a great lineup. So Sandy A, you'll be followed by Dana B. And if you're not Sandy A, please press star 1 to mute your phone. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. This is Sandy A, and I want to thank everyone for their service. This soil word reminds me of an analogy. Every spring I pot up some flowers. I have the pots that I put flowers in. I get potting soil and I get flowers, and it's just something I like to do. I like to get my hands in the dirt and mess with the soil and flowers. It's a way, it's a prayerful way. It's a prayer for me to do that. But when I did that, this spring I also attended a flower potting workshop, and the local extension agent came and explained soil to us and the differences between soil. And I got a real education because I didn't realize that what the differences were, and he explained how they affect the soil, how they affect the growing. And the potting soil that I've always used isn't the greatest. And the potting soil he recommended was much more expensive. And so I started using that. And some of my potted flowers have the old soil in them. Some of them have the new soil. And what a difference. The difference in the flowers that are in the old soil or the other brand of soil that I bought and the new potting soil, totally different. And that analogy about the soil, for me, has been with Overeaters Anonymous, and the difference you get is just remarkable. The price is a little higher. You know, you have to pay a little more. You have to put them a little more into it. But what you get out of it is, you know, beauty, peace, serenity, all the good things that that we're also deserving of. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sandy A. Dana B., you're up next, followed by Elaine G.
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver. I do spell my name D-A-N-A, but it's pronounced Donna. I'm thinking about the soil that I surround myself with. And I do have a choice. And over the last few years, I have gotten off of all the social media platforms. I have stopped listening and reading from different news outlets. I don't watch anything streaming on Netflix or Hulu or any of those things. And it sounds pretty extreme. And it's challenging. There are times that I feel that longing, that hunger, that, you know, wanting to reach out to those different platforms. to fill something inside of me. The choice that I have made is to surround myself with the message of recovery. And I'm so grateful for the infinite number of resources that are available. There are, I can't even begin to count the number of recordings, whether they are special editions or previous meetings that are available on the Vision for You webpage. There are other Big Book Focus OA meetings that also post speakers and meetings. And I share this because the soil / messaging that I surround myself with is what influences and shapes my worldview. And because I'm listening to people who are seeking God, growing along spiritual lines, being of maximum service, I have this belief inside of me that the world is going to be okay. That although there's this thing and that thing, I mean, I hear about everything for sure, despite turning everything off. There's this small, quiet voice inside of me that says, remember, all those hundreds of people that you know personally, they're doing and living and seeing differently. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Donna B. Sorry for pronouncing your name incorrectly. Okay, Elaine G., you're up next, followed by Deborah, and I don't have Deborah's first initial of her last name. So, Elaine G., please share with us.
Hi, everybody. I'm Elaine G. from New York. These three sentences say a lot. Yeah, true. For myself, having to do with coming into, before I came into OA, everything was negative, negative, negative. Everything was black and white. I couldn't see past anything. But anyway, I've learned in OA, even when I'm not abstinent, you know, I'm taught that I don't stay in my funk here and go to a meeting, share. First thing I do in the morning, get a cup of coffee, sit down for a half hour to 45 minutes and pray and meditate and read my meditation books. For my food sponsor, I give him my food. I write this out at night, my food, my gratitude, and my action plan. And this is what keeps me growing, not going backward in my life, you know? It's survival, really, you know? And when things come up that I'm powerless over, well, I give it to God in my God box. I either put it in the 10th step. I liked what I heard about if you're obsessing or something, you need to do a 10th step. So true. And there's something I'm really obsessing on, my sister, who's in assisted living and in powerless. And I need to do a 10th step, even though I'm doing a 4th step, you know. I have to read my 4th step to my sponsor today. That's all part of growing. And I know after doing this 4th step, it's beneficial. It's beneficial to my life. And thank you.
Thank you very much, Elaine G. Deborah, you are up next, and please share your first initial of your last name, and you'll be followed by Marietta P., and then we'll take another lineup on page 11, the last paragraph. Please share with us, Deborah.
Oh, hi, good morning. Thank you so much for your service and everyone that's made this meeting possible. Just feels so good to start the day with the meeting and all the shares. Thank you all for 12-stepping me today. And I'm Deborah G. from Arizona. And my sponsor reminds me, stay connected to God. Stay connected to God. Because I can separate that, you know, the ego, the self, that can separate me from God. And I love what she said, her words, that when I have that awareness that that happened, that I can lovingly go back into God's open, loving arms. You know, and staying grounded, the soil, staying grounded in those beautiful 12 steps, starting my day on my knees and admitting to myself and to God that I have no power, no power, and then living in 10, 11, and 12. It's just a beautiful way to live. Excuse me. Stay grounded in that. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Deborah G. Hope you feel better. Okay, Marietta P. will be up next, and then we'll take a lineup on Bill's story, page 11, last paragraph. So share with us, Marietta.
Hi, Marietta P. here, recovered in Virginia. I live in Virginia. What I wanted to share is, boy, this is good, and I found something through a reading the other day that I was exposed to in the AA Big Book, and it says, Alcoholics Anonymous, my edit, OA, and the 12 steps. I am very fortunate that I was steered in the right direction. A dramatic change has taken place in my life. I just know that more happiness is to come into my life as I trudge the road of happy destiny. That was on page 500. And that is what putting the new soil that is been given to me has been these 12 steps. And actually, the soil is the big book itself and the words that are written on these pages. You know, the precise directions, as Dr. Silkworth said, you know, these words are of paramount importance and masterly given to us in detail how to recover. And, you know, with the fellowship, you know I'm not doing it alone. I'm doing it with God and the fellowship of OA. And I, you know, been truly blessed to have this, you know, being brought to me. And I really feel that it was a godsend. And I'll tell you, if you said that to me years ago, I wasn't in a place because I was still in, face down in the food, or, you know, without me being free of my alcoholic foods, I'm not successful. I'm not available to obtain what this book has to offer. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Marietta P. Okay, we have time for about 3 more shares. Who would like to comment?
Nancy L.
Nancy L.
Barbara W.
Joanne P. And I think I heard somebody whose initial started with an S, and I didn't get your full name.
Sandy I.
Okay, I think we're going to have time for all of you. I have Nancy L., Sandy I., Barbara P., I believe it was, and I think there was a Joan in there too. So let's start with Nancy L., and if you're not Nancy L., please press star 1 to mute your phone. Nancy L.? I believe Nancy L. wanted to share. Was there a Nancy?
Yes, this is Nancy L. Thank you.
Thanks.
Sorry
you.
For interrupting you. Yes, thank you
oh,
so
no,
much.
Thank you.
Yeah, for me, I had a stony heart, if you will. I just didn't think for anything that I was living an unmanageable life. I mean, look at all the people I'm managing and the family I'm managing. And, you know, I just didn't believe that powerlessness stuff either. And so, you know, with a heart like that, God couldn't come in and mold it and shape it and make it soft and to plant any kind of seed in my heart that maybe I could actually have a problem. hello, over 200 pounds. I did have a huge problem at 5'4", 216 and a half pounds. But I just had to allow God to prepare my heart, and he did. And so I'm very, very grateful that that I'm able now to say all 12 steps are for me today, and I embrace them with all the fever of a drowning woman. And I thank God for my recovery this day, and with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Nancy L. And Sandy I, you're up next, followed by Barbara P.
Hi, I'm Sandy I, a recovering compulsive overeater in Pennsylvania. And thank you so much for everyone's service and these beautiful shares. It amazes me how much can be drawn out of just two or three sentences in this book. For me, what I heard was that I have an inward reorganization that gives me different footing, which allows me to grasp new soil, and I'm so grateful for that. And that inwardly reorganized inwardly for me really equates to that spiritual awakening. And for me, it's not just a one-time deal. I'm continually being awakened spiritually. And I was listening to a speaker this weekend that said something that really shifted me and really awakened me again spiritually. And it was in the idea of having faith in God is different than trusting God. And, you know, I've been struggling because my faith in God is strong. However, there's still so many fears. And what the speaker shared was a visual of being at a circus and watching the tightrope walker cross, on the platform, getting ready to cross over on the high wire, pushing a cart. And I have faith that that tightrope walker is going to make it to the other side. And so that's my faith. I have faith God is there, God, you know, can do. The trust piece is me getting into that cart. And for me, that was just an eye-opener. Like, am I trusting God enough to get in his so-called cart as he pushes me through life? So I just wish to share that with all of you and wish you all a happy day. And that is all I have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Great picture. Okay. Barbara P. is up next, followed by Joan P.
Yes, good morning. This is Barbara W. from Seattle.
Sorry about that.
No problem, dear. This is something I had to grab onto. Neither my mother nor I have what I call a green thumb. My mother, I can remember as a child, the only flowers around our house were potted carnations, and I always got a kick out of that because all we had to do was water them. But I have had an amazing my recovery. I'm 76 years old, and I've had more of an amazing shift in my concept of what I believe God. As God lives in me, that soil, the more I lean into God's, the faith I have in God, and the more I lean into what that power can help me do, my old age, I'm just blown away, because I have 2 years and 2 months of abstinence, and that has to be the richest, wonderful, most wonderful soil I've ever had in my life. And as I walk by and see the beautiful flowers on display nowadays, I may not be able to grow things like that, but I can admire their beauty. And my soil is my faith in God, my belief that I am being cared for no matter what's going on in my life. And I think with that, I'll pass. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Barbara W. Thank you very much. Okay, up next we have, I think it was Joan P., and I'm not sure if I got that name right, so please forgive me if I didn't get that quite right. And then we do have time for a couple other shares after that on Bill's story. Page 11, the last paragraph. So please share with us, Joan, and then we'll take two more lineups.
Thank you. This is Joanne P.
Joanne, I had a feeling I didn't get it right. Thank you so much, Joanne. Please share with us.
Yeah, thank you. I am a newly recovered compulsive overeater who's so grateful to be here today and appreciate all the shares I've been listening to. And just want to say that, yes, I have been inwardly reorganized after a recent relapse and doing the steps for the fourth time with a new sponsor. I feel like I've been planted in new soil, and that is my new soil. My roots are with complete surrender and absolute abstinence. I just feel the grace of God's presence in my life almost every day. And also so thankful for the grace to trust his will in my life. So this is where it's at, guys. It's all about the 12 steps and visions and our program and God. Yeah, God's first. He's in charge. So thank you. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Joanne P. Okay, we do have time for two more shares. So if you haven't shared in the last couple of days, press star one to unmute and let me know if you'd like to comment on Bill's story, page 11, last paragraph.
Stephen F.
Darlette P.
I heard Stephen and Darlette. Darlette P., I believe it was. Okay, and Stephen, I didn't get the first initial of your last name, so please share with us and you'll be followed by Darlette. Star one to unmute, Stephen.
Stephen S.
Okay, great. Please share with us.
This is my first time calling. My sponsor suggests I do this. I was having some problems last night with food, and I was just listening to the idea of a new footing. And for me, my new footing was being able to see what a delusion is. I've wrote up what it was, but I didn't really understand it until I kind of went crazy last night and realized I was in delusion. And there's certain things foods I can't mess with. You know, I try to pretend I could, but that was a delusion. And so, you know, it's funny, I can say now that, you know, I used to be just fat and crazy, but like at least now I may still be fat, but at least I ain't crazy anymore. The delusions are going away, so I'm just happy with that. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Stephen F. Glad you're here. Okay. I can't read my own writing. Darlene, was it? P. Or, oh goodness, I'm so sorry. Somebody else, I had shared your name. You wanted
Darlette
to share
P.
your name. Darlette P. I'm so sorry. Thank you.
That's
very much.
Okay.
Please
no problem.
I really thank you. I really like the analogy of the soil that we're potted in, because I haven't been in good soil for a long time, and I have had abstinence twice and lost it, and I again see now that my soil is, for me, full of stubbornness and self-centeredness. And it was so hard for me to see it. It took so long for me to see it. And I know they say this: we learn things in God's time, not in our time. And I'm so grateful today for where God has taken me thus far. I'm down 156 pounds, and I'm very grateful for that. I see much more beauty in the world today than I did before. I still have a long way to go because I'm not doing it perfectly yet. And I know that I don't really want to do it perfectly, but I do want to do it abstinently without slips. And I have a tendency to slip. And I'm just trying to be honest today in that, you know, Stephen hit it on the head when he said delusional, that, you know, I truly was delusional that I didn't see my stubbornness and my self-centeredness and my selfishness in what went on in my life, and especially with my food. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Darlette P. We have time for one two-minute share. And if anybody hasn't shared for a couple days and would like to do that, please press star one to unmute and let me know.
Lauren Grace B., New Jersey.
You got it, Lauren Grace. Please share with us.
Hi, everyone. I'm Lauren Grace B. from South Jersey. I'm grateful to be here very much, a grateful compulsive overeater. And I'm realizing that my only job is to cultivate my soil. I have been through all the steps now. I've been abstinent for a little over 2 months, but I'm still struggling with neutrality. And I was feeling very bad about that. And I did a 9-step about it this morning, and it was revealed once again that God is in control. You know, I'm working the steps. I have a sponsor. I'm working the tools. I'm doing the things I should be doing. And neutrality, I believe, is a good gift from God. And I believe His timing is perfect in that. And as long as I am cultivating my soil, only good things can grow. And one good thing is patiently waiting on Him for His will and His timing to give me the things that He knows our best. I thank you for everyone who gave service this morning. It's just such a great privilege to be on this meeting today. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much. So we'll now close the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Barbara W. please read a vision for you?
Good morning again. This is Barbara W., recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Hear freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.